And you're listening to KCRW. I'm Larry Perrell. A staggering more than 80% of metropolitan regions across the nation have become more racially segregated since the 1990s. While California is diverse, it is not an outlier. Segregation has changed little, and here in the Southland, progress in some cities even worse. That's according to findings from UC Berkeley's Othering and Belonging Institute. Stephen Menendian is the assistant director of the center and a lead author on the study. He's here with us to talk more about the findings from their Roots of Structural Racism project. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, great to be with you.
Great to have you. If you look at the nation on a surface level, right, I mean, you can see racial diversity has gone up over the past few decades, but you found that it hasn't trickled down to desegregation.
Well, that's right. You know, the United States has, in a way, transformed since the 1960s. We've always been a multiracial country, but for most of the 20th century, we were mostly regarded as a primarily black and white country. And so you have cities like Chicago or Detroit or Memphis, particularly Memphis, that are, you know, 98% black or white through most of the 20th century. What happened is since the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1965, you have a large increase in the West Coast and the Southwest in particular in the Hispanic population, but also a tremendous increase in the Asian American community. Both in relative and absolute terms. So, for example, in the Bay Area, Asians are on track to be the largest plurality within a few decades.
You know, Los Angeles was one of the only cities in California to see improvements, but it still remains the sixth most segregated of the more than 220 metro areas that were looked at. Why do you think that is?
Well, Los Angeles is, like much of California, has undergone a tremendous amount of demographic change. It's not just that there is more segregation, it's that there has been a tremendous amount of shifts in demography. So you have, for example, Asian and Hispanic peoples moving to different neighborhoods across the metropolitan region as some grow and others change and evolve. I also think it's because there is a lot of sprawl in the Los Angeles metropolitan region. There's a lot of fragmentation. And the kind of, you know, look, Los Angeles is a metropolitan region that is dominated by highways and cars. And in any region where cars are the predominant mode of travel, you're going to have freeways bisecting communities. You're going to have a lot of sprawl and a lot of fragmentation. So it's a very balkanized region in the sense that there are racially identifiable neighborhoods across the region.
You know, several other Southern California regions remain high on the list with cities that have seen segregation get worse, including places like Santa Barbara, Riverside, Oxnard as well. Why do you think the problem has persisted in places like this?
Well, the main reason that I think segregation has persisted is because even as our regions and states, and particularly places like California and Texas, have diversified, there remain a number of highly segregated and very affluent white communities that have maintained their exclusionary whiteness. It doesn't mean that there are many places that are entirely white, but when you get into places like Santa Barbara or in the north, you know, in Northern California, places like Sonoma, Napa, and Marin, you have communities that are heavily white relative to the population of the state and the population of the regions in which they're situated. So, for example, in a state in which, you know, you're verging on majority-minority, meaning that most people in California are people of color, many of these cities are 60, 70, even 80 to 90% white. And so that's really what's driving a lot of this segregation, is that you have persistent, highly exclusionary, heavily white neighborhoods and communities embedded throughout these regions.
Have some of these cities seen more segregation because they're agricultural hubs? I noticed that on the list, some of the cities are located in the state's Central Valley, for instance. Chico is on the list, for example.
It does. And one of the reasons it plays a role is because you have a lot of seasonal migration. So you, in the agricultural hubs in California in particular, you will have many diverse peoples, but often Hispanic racially, settling seasonally in these communities in highly concentrated neighborhoods where they will work in these communities, whether it's in the vineyards or, you know, the crop fields, and then leave. Or if they do settle there, they're settling in a very small number of tracts. So we see that pattern not just in the Central Valley or Southern California, but it's also, again, in the North Bay and Napa, Sonoma, and Marin, where you have, if you look at the map, you'll see these handful of census tracts that are highly segregated communities of color in what's otherwise a sea of white.
So beyond seeing segregation on a surface level, that is, not experiencing as much diversity in your neighborhoods, why are these findings so important?
Well, the main reason we're trying to draw attention to this issue is because racial residential segregation continues to undergird almost every expression of racial inequality in our society, whether you're talking about policing and the criminal justice system, you know, which neighborhoods are police most aggressively targeting, surveilling, and harassing residents, or pulling over motorists. Health outcomes. There have been several studies, notable studies related to the COVID pandemic, which neighborhoods were hardest hit by COVID, where is the mortality rate the highest, or whether you're talking about educational outcomes, right? Most students in the United States are assigned to neighborhood schools. So segregated residential patterns shape segregated educational opportunity. So, you know, we can address each of those issues in a piecemeal fashion, or we can recognize that racial residential segregation is really the root cause of each of them.
So what do you think could happen if the problem of segregated metro areas isn't addressed?
I think we're going to continue to see uprisings of the sort that we saw in Watts in the 60s, and we've seen in recent years across the country. Without actually promoting racial equity through integration, deliberate integration, we're going to continue to see police violence focused in communities of color on people of color. We're going to continue to see uprisings where, you know, uprisings of the last half decade were not simply about the police brutality. They were also a response to these inequitable conditions that are baked into our metropolitan regions.
Stephen Menendian is the assistant director of UC Berkeley's Othering and Belonging Institute. Stephen, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Larry.